Good morning. Welcome to Clear Lake Christian Church. It's a beautiful weekend, and my grandfather used to say this time of year is his favorite time of year because he has two summers ahead of him and only one winter. I don't know if the math makes any sense, but I got the sentiment. A couple announcements to start with. The search committee is going to meet for about 15 minutes end of the hallway, so if you're part of that committee, please show up to that. And this is an announcement of something that I'm in charge of, a couple of things. First of all, too many C's in one word. Cattle Creek Christian Camp, which is the camp near Cresco. We had a camp out last year. We had a work day last year. We'll do those things again this year. April 25th is a Saturday. We're going to have a work day that Saturday. Some people will probably carpool from here. I may be over there already. Projects we're going to work on may include finishing the drywall of the shower house, putting up some vinyl wallboard in the shower house. There's a couple odds and ends projects as well, and maybe put in a couple picnic tables and some gravel down by the camp. So several things I'm hoping for. If you're able to attend that, let me know. I just need a head count for lunch. And if you're not sure what to bring, just ask me. The second thing is there will be, planning to be, a camp out canoe float again this year. And the dates set for that tentatively are Friday, June 19th to Saturday, June 20th. And again, there will be a sign-up sheet for that as we get closer to that event. One thing that I think about a lot is my thoughts. And I want to ask you, are you in control of your thoughts? Well, you know, people wear those little bracelets that say, what would Jesus do? But more importantly, what would Jesus think? Because as you think, so you feel, and so you do. So really, we want to know, what are you thinking? I mean, are you sitting there thinking, this guy is really boring and I can't wait for lunch? And that might be just. But I want you to refocus. I want you to refocus your thoughts on God, because that's why we're here. And I want you to think about the positive things. A lot of times we get wrapped up in what's going on, our late bills, something's broken on our car, whatever. These tend to dominate our thoughts. And I would encourage you this morning, let's just focus on God and his love for us. And I'm going to quote from Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this spring-like sunny day and its warmth. And may we be reminded of your love and your warmth for us, and that we need to take charge of our thoughts, that when negative thoughts come into our mind, that we redirect and think about your love for us, the blessings you've given us, and that you will guide us as we go forward this day and each day. Amen.
Thank you. I agree. This is my favorite time of year, too. But not only because there's two summers coming up. I don't know about that. But, you know, just a week ago, we had snow piles that were, you know, to the sky. And just when you can't take one more day of winter, now look at we have spring and the snow is gone, and within a week we're, you know, the sun is shining and it's beautiful. And that's how we are as Christians. It's like, you know, we have winter days, but because we have Christ in our life and we know that Jesus raised from the dead, we always know that spring is on the way and summer is going to be here before we know it. So let's stand up and sing about that.
I
Okay, we have the children come forward and have their message.
Morning.
Morning.
Are you all here? Are you here? Okay. I want you to imagine for a minute. You're going to go pick out your Easter outfit. And you'll want some shoes to match. But I thought, what would it be like if you could match? Like if you picked a t-shirt with a blue star, how about having blue skin to go along with it? Or green? You know, we want to match. We want to blend in, don't we? I can't do that, but chameleons can. How many of you know what a chameleon looks like? A few of you? I've got a picture here, right up in here. He's a little bitty guy, and he's kind of like somebody took him and squished him in the middle, because you just pick him up with your two fingers here, and he has a long tail. He uses that to hang onto the branches or to sit on. He has eyes on both sides, but each one works independently. So he might be looking over here at Brandon and what he's doing at the same time that he's looking down here to see about Micaiah, and those two eyes are working independent of one another. He has a long, skinny tongue. That tongue is as long as his body is. And that's hard to think about it, but it's sticky on the end. And so when he sees a tasty little fly over there, he sends that tongue crying out, and because it's sticky on the end, he can reel that back in and eat it. Probably the best thing about a chameleon is that it matches wherever it is. If it's a yellow chameleon and he gets on a black stick, all of a sudden he will be black. Or if he were crawling around here on the carpeting, he might have spots on him, just like our carpeting does. We had a chameleon, at least one, when the boys were small, and you never knew where he was. If he was in one of the plants, he was green. If he was on the curtain, he might be kind of brown and orange. Yes?
It's camouflage.
It's camouflage, you're very right.
His scales are special.
You know, and our military does with camouflage. And there are a number of reasons that that chameleon can change color to match wherever he is. Sometimes it has to do with the temperature or with the light, but sometimes it has to do with him being scared. And so he just melts right into it. Now I want you to think, how many of you ride a school bus? Nobody rides a school bus?
One.
Okay, if you get on that school bus and you've got somebody new on your bus and everybody's making fun of them, you've got a decision to make. Are you going to blend in and make fun of them too? Or are you going to do what God wants you to do? You're down at Larson's. You're walking around and you're really hungry and you think, oh, they'll never miss one candy bar. What do you think about that? But your friends are doing it. Your friends are doing it. So you don't want to be different from them, do you? If one's going to steal, everybody's going to steal, right? Yeah, but it's not very much fun to get caught in one thing. And it's wrong. And it isn't what God would like you to have you do. So where you want to blend in, you know, Christians are deciding that all the time. At school, are you going to make fun of somebody? Are you going to say nasty words because everybody else is saying nasty words? No. God expects you to do as he wants you to do. And when it's wrong, then God expects you to stand up and say that's wrong. May not be easy. Sometimes it'd be kind of nice to just fall in with everybody else and giggle and have fun.
You have to do the right thing.
But you don't want to do that. God expects you to do what he wants you to do. And when you do that, he does good things for you. I want you to hear a scripture that I picked out that maybe fits. It says, it's from Corinthians, and it says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. You know what it means to stand firm? Yeah, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God expects good things of you. We expect good things of God. Let's pray. Precious Lord, help us to stand firm when we have to make a decision. Are we going to do right or wrong? We want to follow your example that you gave us through Jesus. We want to be a Christian wherever we are. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.
While the children get their treats and make it back to their pews, the rest of you can greet one another and say what a glorious day it is.
Sent his son. Good morning. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, it's just fascinating to me. It's wonderful the way that God works. I had several people come to me this morning and tell me that things that they had studied, that God had brought to their mind of the truth of His Word, they were able to use in sharing with somebody else. Also, you know, we know Chuck recently trusted Christ as his own Savior, and he shared with me something on Wednesday night. I just wanted him to share with all of us. Chuck.
Thank you. Yeah, Wednesday night, I was talking to the pastor, and I said something happened to me today. That was Wednesday, and ever since, you know, Jesus come in, I just can't stop smiling. And so I go to this guy's business in Mason City, and it's like he's busy, so I'm just standing there smiling. And he got done, he looked at me, he says, "What'd you do, win the lottery?" And I said, "Being you brought that up, my friend, you know, I said, yes, with the lottery of Jesus Christ, you know, and it was just exciting for me." And anyway, he gave me a hug, and I went about my merry way to the next smile. So, thank you.
Amen. We are always to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. As we come to prayer today, we certainly rejoice. Myrna had her knee surgery, had a little trouble with some stomach upset trying to get through it, so she was having trouble focusing on her stomach and her knee at the same time. But now it's all knee, and so she's going to be going home tomorrow. She's still at West Campus today, but certainly we want to continue to remember her in our prayers. We certainly rejoice in knowing that God is at work in our midst, and He is drawing people to Himself. Seven times in the book of Acts, He gives a progress report. And that progress report basically says, "And the Lord added daily to those that were being saved." We're either part of that redemptive story, or we're sitting on the sidelines watching somebody else. And I know where we want to be. And that's part of the reason we gather here, not only to worship, to be strengthened, that we will have that impact in the world Christ has designed us for. Let us look to Him. Father, we truly thank You that You have loved us with an everlasting love. Though we found ourselves separated from You because of our sin, You made the way. Jesus died that by simply placing our faith and trust in Him, that You accepted His death as full payment for all sin. Lord, that we have everlasting life with You. Lord, thank You for Myrna's progress. Thank You for our visitors that are here with us today. Lord, we accept their presence as a gracious gift of Your hand. May we accept that responsibility to love them as You would have. Lord, that they would be encouraged and would desire to become a part of this family. Lord, we thank You that You have called us out to be Your own. Lord, there's no way that we can comprehend the fullness of becoming Your child, of being the inheritor of all that is Yours, that we could look and find on the title deed of heaven that our names are there. Lord, this is incredible. And to think that every single spiritual blessing there could possibly ever be has already been placed to our account. Is there as a resource for us to draw upon so that as we live, we don't have to live in our own strength, but we have Your power and Your presence with us wherever we go. It is within that, Lord, that we gather to sing praise to Your name. No one else is worthy of our praise. Lord, we thank You that we can enjoy one another's company. We can encourage one another. Lord, help us love one another in such a way it will amaze those that are watching us, that they will be drawn to the truth, to the reality that is in Jesus Christ. We are here because He is alive. We are alive because He is alive. And Lord, that is why we sing. Bless us in the remainder of this service. May we honor you in all that we do, think, and say. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm really hopeful this morning that Randy wasn't talking about our service here this morning with the being bored and rather thinking about lunch. We are going through the book of Romans. Paul has been talking about justification, that very process of being declared righteous by God. God, being God, is able to set the rules. He's able to say, we got to do things his way and no other. And so within that, it's saying that justification is to be declared righteous by God. This is a legal affirmative act in which it is a once-for-all declaration. For you see, you cannot be in fellowship with God unless you're like God. There can be no evil associated with it. That was impossible for us. And so the only way God had to make a way, and he did. through Jesus being able to take God's wrath towards sin away. Jesus became the satisfaction. God is able to declare us righteous, and when he declares us righteous, we are righteous forever, which means we're okay to be in fellowship, to be in a relationship with God. Well, after Paul has gone through and described that, now he comes into a three-chapter part of talking to us about sanctification. I don't want anybody going here and going, man, this guy was saying justification, sanctification, these are really huge words. Yes, they are. And they all have to do with our salvation. But we shouldn't be afraid of them, but rather understand them for what they are. Sanctification is basically taking the salvation that we have in Christ and living it out, putting it on display. For proof to ourselves, we belong to God, and for motivation for others to come and receive what we have received. And so we can see that within this, he's starting on this three-chapter journey. Let us begin today by looking at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Please join me in your Bibles. If you don't have one, you should find one there in the pew rack in front of you. And I would encourage you to turn with us. The book of Romans is about three-fourths of the way through the Bible. It's after the gospel, so you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, we're going to see dying to live. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now we can see here that Paul begins chapter 6 by answering his critics. They were basically looking at this and saying, Paul, this whole thing you're talking about, grace, it's like what we do doesn't even matter, doesn't even count for anything. That somehow or another, Paul was an advocate of increasing sin, because with the very presence of sin, God displayed his grace even more. His critics were taking this to mean that Paul was saying, well, then be as ungodly as you can, because then it gives God the clearer opportunity to demonstrate his grace. And of course, this isn't what he's trying to say at all. Back in chapter 5 and verse 20, just look up the page there a little bit. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. He's drawing from this. He ties it back, chapter 4 and verse 5, that the reasoning would be such. If God delighted in justifying the ungodly. See, this is where these Jewish critics were having their trouble. They're saying, hey, you know, God justifies the righteous. And Paul is saying the righteous don't need justifying. And so it's only those that are ungodly that are going to turn in faith to Christ. Those who think they've got a righteousness of their own aren't going to be looking to get anybody else's. And so they're kind of left out if they're on their own. So Paul is going on, and in verses 2 through 4 here, he begins to answer that question. And within this, we can see that he's talking about this being identified with Christ. Within this, it sounds an awful lot like baptism. But there is no water in these verses. Water baptism is the symbol, it's the sign of the spiritual reality in which we are identified with Christ's death, with his crucifixion, that when he went, he took our sins there with him. And so we are identified with that death. Christ truly died and he was buried, and we are identified with that burial. But when Christ rose up in newness of life, in a resurrection life. And it's saying that within that, so are we. If we are identified with Christ's death, we are also identified with Christ's resurrection. That's why there at the end of verse 4, very clearly, it says we too may live a new life. It's not saying we shall live a new life when we cross over and we enter eternity. But it's the moment that we believe that this new life begins. And so within this, there's very much the identity of Christ going on in these verses. It's hard for us to grasp the concept of what Paul is saying here. But it's saying that if we believe that Jesus died for our sins, that God made it capable of Jesus to do that on our behalf. Do you believe that this morning? This is interactive. Do you believe that this morning? Okay. So within that, if we believe that Christ could take our sins with him, that is going to offer us God's salvation, we need to take that the step further, that we're able to grab a hold of the truth that when Christ died for our sins, we were there with him and we died to sin. It was a death. And in that death, then, we were raised into new life. And it is therein that this Paul is trying to describe for us as he begins talking about sanctification, the living out, this progressive growing relationship with Christ that we already know. We're dead to sin and we're alive in Christ's newness of life. A verse that's very good about that is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. For those of you who'd like, it's a few pages there to the right. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I know.